And for today, that's Morning Edition here on WILL AM 580. I'm Jay Pierce. Thanks for listening. Dave Dickey joins us now with our opening commodity market report.
Thank you very much, Jay, and good Tuesday morning, everyone. EU finance ministers told France today that it was moving too fast with plans to decide on global financial regulations at a Washington summit next week. France is urging the G20 finance summit on November 15th and 16th to commit to stricter financial supervision and measures to stop reckless risk-taking in the banking industry. But the ministers were still ready to boost the powers of the International Monetary Fund in containing the financial turmoil that has hiked the cost of borrowing and sent shares and currencies plummeting in recent weeks. In its latest global economic outlook, Fitch Ratings predicts that the world's major advanced economies, the U.S., Britain, the EU, and Japan, will next year experience the steepest decline in GDP since World War II. In aggregate GDP growth in these countries, it's expected to be -0.8% next year, compared to an estimated 1.1% increase for 2008. World GDP will grow by just 1% next year, the slowest rate since the early 1990s, according to the Fitch Ratings. And they also project that the average GDP over the last 5 years has been 3.5%. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now at 9,573. It's up 253 points. The NASDAQ at 1770 is up 43. The S&P 500, 998, and it's up just over 32 points.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Taking a look how prices fared in the resumption of trading at the Chicago Board of Trade and in Kansas City, the numbers look like this, and we'll start in Kansas City with December wheat, which opened at 603, up 5.75 on the open. March, 620, up 5.5. At the Chicago Board of Trade, December wheat opened at 567, up 5 on the open. March, 587, up 4.5. July, 613.5, up 3.75 on the open. December corn opened at 412, up 9 on the open. March, 430, up 9.25. May, 442, up 9.5. July, 454, up 10.5. December, 474, up 9.75 on the open. November beans open at 9.52, up 23.75 on the open. January, 9.56, up 18.5. March, 9.73, up 23.75. May, 9.85, up 24.25. July, 9.99, up 29. And November of 2009, 9.95, up 25.5 on the open. December soybean meal opened at 279.50, up 4.30 on the open. January, 282.50, up 5.30. December soybean oil opened at 35.70, up 96 on the open. January, 36.43, up 1.21. December live cattle opened at 93.50, up 17.5 on the open. November feeders open at 99.80, up 20 on the open. December lean hogs, 54.30, down 10 on the open. And February pork bellies opened at 83.30, down 95 on the open. Joining us now on the telephone to talk about the markets is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He is in New Market, Indiana. Good morning, Wayne.
Why, good morning, Dave.
It's only Tuesday, and already we have a new weekly high for corn. What's got into the marketplace?
Well, you know, I think, number one, we've got an election going on today. Looks like things are going along the way the people in Wall Street seem to like it. We've got the Dow up 233. We've got the crude oil up 404. We've got the dollar down $1.70. and the gold on up sharply, up $29 this morning. So all the outside markets are positive as for a little rally in the grains. And, you know, we've seen a little fun buying come in along with it here today and just a lot of non-selling. And it looks like maybe we like the idea of this election just going to be over with and get some certainty back in the markets.
So what do we make of this for the balance of the week? Over the weekend, I wrote in our Ag e-letter, based on the conversations I've had with all our analysts last week, that the possibility of a salt in the upside gaps that are left in the charts were possible before next Monday's NASS and WASD reports. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, I guess I've been hanging back a little bit, thinking that we would probably come into the last 20% of the corn harvest and see some lows with some of the movement off the farm. But we're seeing the farmers be tremendously tight holders, Dave, and that, of course, doesn't seem to be affecting the market in the same way it generally does. Harvest being slow, farmers being very tight-fisted, and all that. Maybe I missed the low on this one right here. We were trying to hang in there thinking that report, right after that report, would be the time to buy this market. But we're definitely seeing a salt on the upside here today and a little more fun buying, you know, coming into the market.
Yeah, fun buying back in the market. We haven't said that in a while.
No, we haven't, and I don't know if this is going to be in big numbers, whether it can hold along the way here or not, but we're going to have a little honeymoon period after the election's over, thinking that whoever is there is adding some hope, and, you know, it's definitely reacting that way today.
We did have FC Stone numbers out yesterday. They were essentially, I would call them flat, you know, in terms of what compared with last month's revisioned NASS reports. We have later on this morning, I believe, we have Informa coming out with numbers too. What's the pre-talk chatter about Informa?
Well, Informa tends to estimate on the high side rather than the low side, Dave, so they probably will basically offset SC Stone's numbers that were a little bit lower. So, you know, that's what we're looking at. You know, we dropped 0.5 of a bushel or half a bushel off the corn yield and 0.3 of a bushel off the bean yield. You know, the trade is expecting a little lower bean number, maybe on the report Monday than what we saw in the revision there. Just thinking that what we saw after that revision has been a little bit disappointing west of Mississippi as far as yields go.
What do you make of that as you look at the export sales commitments report, that soybeans have far been outpacing corn in recent weeks?
Well, Dave, I mean, there was one thing we knew going into this was that there was a lot of feed wheat in Russia. That's replaced a lot of corn out there in the markets. Brazil has been undercutting us as far as prices went along the way. And Verizon filing for bankruptcy hasn't added any great confidence to our corn usage for ethanol. And also the numbers being cut back in the feed usage doesn't give you a really good feeling of confidence towards some things. And yield's been awfully good in a lot of areas in the corn.
So are you thinking that next week it wouldn't be a surprise if WASD cut back usage in corn 100 and 150 million bushels?
There could easily be a cutback, Dave. You know, as to what degree that they do it, we have seen for a fact that we can't really rely on them to be on the same lines we're on at many times is the way things go. But I do think that, you know, there's definitely the possibility because of the things we just talked about that we could see a cutback in exports and feed usage on next report.
And what advice do you have for those looking still to do some marketings in the crops?
Well, I think, you know, the farmers been tight holders. I think that is probably still our idea of the way that we should be. We're short-term sideways to neutral and longer-term just a little bit friendly, number one, because of the idea that with all the money that we're printing to make up for these debts, why we should have a little bit of an inflationary attitude. And, you know, like I say, I think this market looks like it's going to tighten up and we're going to see some money flow back into some of the funds and we'll see a little increase here.
On the cash side, are you more friendly beans than corn?
I would have to say that we are, just for the things we talked about, is the reason that the exports have done tremendously along the way, and the yields have not been on the high side. They've been on the low side.
Thank you much, Wayne.
Thanks, Dave.
Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He is in New Market, Indiana. Let's look at Ed Kieser's extended outlook because the weather is changing. Showers and thunderstorms will likely enter northwestern and west central Illinois before daybreak on Thursday, but all other areas should remain dry through Wednesday night. Rain and thunderstorms will accompany a cold front that will push through Illinois and Indiana Thursday afternoon into Thursday night. That front will end this period of unseasonably warm weather. Scattered showers are likely Friday afternoon and Saturday, especially in the northern half of Illinois and Indiana. A few showers will still be possible on Sunday. High temperatures over the weekend will only be in the 40s in most locations. Early indications point to damp and rather cool weather next week. The bottom line, excellent weather for harvest and field work will continue through Wednesday night, and that will be followed by much less favorable weather late in this week into next week. You're listening to WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD2 and HD3 Urbana, and on the web at WILLAG.org.